Welcome, Mr. Pearsall. You look like you was worried there. What was wrong with you, Mr. Pearsall? What's going on?
I was making sure my lighting was right, man. You know, the lighting sometimes doesn't show where I am, what I got going on. We're all good, baby.
Well, you're not on the beachfront property. I mean, that's one thing for sure. You're not inconspicuous in a dark shadowed room, you know, trying to hide your facial features. You in, like you was in the witness protection program. But look here, it is Monday, May the 17th. And man, can you believe this? Episode 17 on May the 17th. Man, 2021. Man, we roll it. 17. That's right. 17 wow. Episodes.
Are you this serious?
17. Yes, sir. This is the 17th. And this is going to be an exciting day. I can tell you right now, I'm excited. I am absolutely excited, Mr. Pearsall. And you know what? I'm looking in your basement. You know, I always get excited when I look in your basement, but I do get a little depressed sometimes when I see them Cowboys behind you. You know, I know you are a Cowboys fan, but you got a nice, you know, one thing for sure, the polo shirt that you have looks better than that Cowboy stuff behind you, you know, but that's okay. I can become a fan. And I know, you know, the reason why I become a fan is because we are talking about the Watkins Award. The Watkins Award. What is it not to be excited about, Mr. Pearsall? Can you find anything to not be excited about the Watkins Award, Mr. Pearsall?
Absolutely not. We're continuing to change the world through these young men that have been involved with the Watkins Award for the last 30 years. And as I always state, you know, it's Watkins teams first and Cowboys second. You see, Tamara, I got Haskins over here now. That's our arch enemy when it comes to the team itself. So, you know, I'm always Watkins team first and then the Cowboys second. But, you know, my heart is with the Cowboys otherwise.
Oh, my goodness. You know, and I just want to state, I mean, that is a sharp-looking shirt right there. I mean, that's sure the shot. So how can a fan like me of yours, Mr. J. Everett Pearsall, and again, I'm Coach T. Tate or Tyrone Tate, whatever you want to call it, and I'm here with my sidekick, my partner, who just happened to be in the museum today. He's not on the beachfront property. That's not, you know, like me. I got a background of the Watkins Award trophy and, of course, me, myself, and I were back there. But he is sitting in the official museum. So, Mr. Pearsall, how can someone get a nice shirt like that? And look, don't you be talking about this customization and all. I need to know, first of all, I heard through the grapevine, you're setting up a store on the official Alliance website, which is www.naaa.com. So can someone officially order that shirt from this store that you are creating?
Now, I will tell you that today, just 2 hours ago, we had a wonderful phone call with our team. And one of the biggest topics of discussion was the fact that we'll be able to sell merchandise on our new website. We'll use Flipkart, and that is a tool that will be launched that will be connected to our website, and that will allow us to now put items like this wonderful shirt online. And all you have to do is give us your size and color, and we'll be able to get this shirt manufactured and right out to you. And so our website very shortly will allow you to go on, be able to order merchandise, and we'll be able to fulfill that order in a very timely fashion, get that out to you, and you too will be able to don this wonderful, not just this Under Armour shirt, but many other pieces of merchandise that you'll be able to find on our website. Flipkart is a wonderful tool.
Now, I'm sorry, but I just wanted to let you know, my attention was to the computer here. And what happened was this thing was beeping, beeping, beeping. I didn't know what it was. And it was a couple people sending in emails, and I looked at one of the emails, And Mr. Pearsall, you can't keep, they say, tell Mr. Pearsall he cannot keep running from setting the price of his merchandise. So they want you to make sure there is a price on the store. So on the store, prices of the merchandise will be there, correct, Mr. Pearsall?
Absolutely, per item. And so because I've worn so many different items on all of our shows, obviously, all those prices, all those items have a different price. And so, yes, you'll be able to take a look at it and know what the price is of the item that you're ordering, and you'll be able to have that item fulfilled. Absolutely.
I mean, that's a sharp shirt there, Mr. Pearson. I'm very, very jealous of you having that shirt. Now, understandably, you are either going to get my size because I'm not coming up to your size. That's just a fact of nature. It's not.
I got room for you in here. I got room for you.
I'm sure you do have some room for me. But I just want our audience to know that they can go by the website now. How soon can they go by the website and the store is going to be up, Mr. Pearsall?
I'll have a date and a time soon. It's unfortunate that when you're dealing with technology, sometimes it's like dealing with a mechanic. You don't have an actual date when it'll be done. But my team is working feverishly around the clock so that hopefully within the next 7 to 14 days, the store will be available. And then items will be added as the demand comes through for each one of those items. And so we'll have new launches of different items. We'll have items available immediately. But again, the demand for these items, which is why I always say, if you've seen me wear something and you'd like to have that item and you don't see it on the store, please make note that this is what I'm looking for, and we can have something customized for you. But as you say, let's not talk about the customization. Let's talk about the stuff that's already on the shelf. You'll have stuff that'll be there immediately, and then we'll add items as we go along, which will enable all of our folks who really have a desire to have these items, we'll have them in an expedient fashion. We won't put them on the site unless we can deliver them immediately.
Okay, well, that's great. Now, you see, I keep getting distracted on my computer here. Now, you have all kind of people who listen and watch our show. As a matter of fact, there's an individual from Africa. I'll tell everybody, it either is or it isn't, but there's an individual who taps into my Facebook page, and he likes stuff all the time. What we doing? He's probably listening to the show as we speak. He sends me DMs all the time. Now, I got a message here from a mechanic that takes an exception to your rule. He says he had a date. So I'm only telling you this, Mr. Pearsall. I'm gonna get out of the way. I always get hit up with the hate mail. But we doing this stuff live. This show is live. This is not a podcast, ladies and gentlemen. However, we do have a podcast. You can go listen to all of our former shows. You look on any major podcast platform, you will see the Watkins Award show. So just type in the Watkins Award show. Now, I thought maybe you was going to look at something, Mr. Pearsall. Now, one of the other things I want to let everyone know, this is something that I'm putting Mr. Pearsall on the spot. We talked about this before, but what we're going to do on the website is offer some specialized merchandise where you can't get nowhere else. This is the only place that you can get this personalized merchandise from any of our former Watkins Award honorees. Any of the honorees, you can get personalized merchandise. So if you are a fan of a particular school or a particular team that the Watkins honorees have played for or currently playing on, we will set up some specialized merchandise just for you. Now, there'll be a price because we are a nonprofit. And this is how we raise our funds. So we would appreciate your support. Go by the website. You can make a donation without the merchandise. Now, here's another thing that I'm putting out there. I'm putting, Mr. Pearsall and I have not talked about this. I have spoken to some of the board members, and we talk from time to time, but I'm going to take it upon myself to make this announcement. Now, the announcement is we want you to come and support our website, buy the merchandise. And for everyone who comes in and purchase merchandise, no matter what the price is, you will be entered into a raffle. And that raffle will allow you to get something personalized by one of these guys. Now, that's something we'll control what it is, and we'll give you more details. It might be something, an Alliance shirt like Mr. Pearsall is wearing, and then that individual will sign the shirt. So you'll have one to wear, and you'll have one to do like Mr. Pearsall, put it in a nice frame and set it up in your house and say you got this from the Alliance. We'll do that. Even if you want a picture of Mr. Pearsall and you want him to autograph the picture, we'll have that available on the auction. So we're going to do what we have to do in order to, you know, certainly make it not only entertaining, not only to help us to raise the needed funding because of some things that Mr. Pearsall talked about in previous shows about the ACP camp that we do. We go around all these guys. We work on a holistic approach, and we try to push our guys to set up nonprofit organizations, especially if they go into the league. Now, even if they don't go into the league, we still ask them to set up nonprofit organizations in their communities, and we'll get involved. Whatever, if we need to come out and be keynote speakers, guest speakers, or, you know, Mr. Pearsall had me in Florida once with the kids down there, getting the kids all hyper down there in Florida. You remember that day, Mr. Pearsall?
I do. Yeah. Absolutely.
We was down in Orlando, and so we travel around together. We had the parents down there. We had the guys in Florida. You know, they spoke to the kids. So we'll make an event. If you want us to come to your city and bring some of our guys, now, we can't say that we're going to bring a whole bunch of guys, but there may be some guys that's near or in your city, and it doesn't matter if you're in a little small with somebody would say a remote area, we'll come to your area. Let's see if we can make that work. We'll promote it on our radio station or our radio show. We'll promote it. We'll make sure that it's a part of our podcast. But to say the least, we are doing everything that we can, and we ask you to support the Alliance, like our sponsors and our ads that people are running. So we are asking you to come through. And of course, you can DM or you can call Mr. Pearsall or myself directly. You can call us, and you can call us directly. We have a telephone number. At least I'm going to give you my telephone number. I'm going to give you my telephone number, 443-422-6486. That's 443-422-6486. You can call me directly, and you want to know how you can participate and get involved in helping us. We're trying to get ready. We haven't made any official announcement, but we're trying to make that decision for the 2022 Watkins Award, whether it's going to be live like we've done it in the past years, or it's going to be virtual. No matter what it is, Mr. Pearsall has promised me that it is going to be a sight to see. We're going to have this show. So if you can't come, you'll be able to go online and be able to see our event. Now, I can tell you in future years, you may be able to go to cable, satellite, your local channels, and see us live because that show, I mean, it is a phenomenal show. So let me get into our guest before our guest come in here, because he'll show up and then all of a sudden, boom, he's there. Keith Martin, Mr. Pearsall.
This, he says he's pulling in now, so he probably will be available in probably 2 to 3 minutes. So
okay.
Hopefully will be joining us. I have no technical difficulties.
Okay, well, Keith Marshall is by far a young man that is, I mean, all these guys are special. But this young man is, man, look, you, look, every week we come. Look here, I'm a little upset, Mr. Pearsall. I'm a little upset. And I'm upset because people got to understand, who are listening and watching our show, that there is nothing else on the planet right now like the Watkins Award show. Bonner, there's nothing remotely close to what this show is about. Now, I'm not doing this in an arrogant way. I'm not boasting. I mean, we can have news and have all this negative stuff going on. There's nothing negative. All we're trying to do is to promote what these young African-American males are doing. You watch TV, you see all this negative news. I've said this before, but I'm really going to get on the bandwagon right now.
You're right, Mr. Tate. I think you're right. You know, having done this for over 30 years now and being involved and beginning the Alliance, there is nothing like the Watkins Award. And, you know, I've seen a lot of things come and go. I mean, when you think about the fact that I've done this my entire adult life and, you know, I've done this more years and I've not done it at this point. The idea is that there are things that have come up and maybe for 1 year, 2 years, 3 years, even 4 years that have, you know, I want to say try to duplicate what we're doing. But, you know, they've tried to do something in its likeness or something in their own way. But I'll tell you that, you know, over the last 30 years, nothing has happened year in and year out like the Watkins Award. And more importantly, no other group of individuals have been more impactful at changing the lives of youth in the United States of America. This is the largest conglomerate of African-American athletes that have done the types of things they've done in America to our youth, to uplift them and give them a sense of worth, a sense of hope and direction.
Oh, my goodness. Mr. Pearsall, don't stop. Keep going, man. I need these kind of, you know, some people, I don't want to say this in the wrong way, so bear with me. You know, birds and a feather flock together. And you find people who are miserable, they want everybody else to be miserable around them. So they start talking about bad news, bad news, bad news, and they just keep talking about bad news. But here's some good news. And all we asking our listeners, if you got a friend, you got a friend. Matter of fact, let's take a spiritual number 7. Let's take a 7. So for next week's show, if you're listening now, call 7, text 7 people, tell them you got some good news. Send them, this isn't about Everett Pearsall and Tyrone Tate. This is about some young men who are out here who are making positive statements, movements. They are doing things out here that's unbelievable. And, you know, a lot of times, just like a lot of people did not know the impact of the African-American females who got involved in the space program until they saw this movie. So here, week after week after week, we've had 17 weeks of positive stories about these young men. And it's not like they're coming from one particular place. We're hitting you from all over the country with these young men, all over the country. And we've had 17 of them. And, you know, last week we had, you know, I'm looking because I can't remember everybody's name off the top of my head to just rattle through it because of time. But we've had David Yankee, Brian Browning, Joshua Dobbs, Bobby Okereke, Devin Gordon, Darrell Richard, J.R. Lennon, Maurice Hall, Justin Blaylock, Richard Yergin, James Bartles, Lorenzo Alexander, Devere Posey, Wayne Lyons, and Darnell Dinkins kicked it off. There's nowhere else you're going to get these kind of bona fide scholar athletes. See, some people say they scholars and they got a 2.6. We ain't taking nothing away from a guy who got a 2.6. But we talking about bona fide scholars. Some guy says he's the best running back in his conference. We're not talking about the best running backs in the conference. We're talking about the best running backs in the country. So, you know, with that said, right now, ladies and gentlemen, I mean, I've talked about a lot of these guys. I get excited, but I'm excited right now because, again, I'm coming from the state of Georgia. You know, these kids are going to schools all over the country, but now I got Keith Marshall, who is here. Now, Keith, I just want to set this thing up, just like I set it up, but I ain't going to mess it up like I did last week. I'm like, man, you know, I promise, but Keith is from Raleigh, North Carolina. So from everyone that's listening that's from North Carolina, this is one of your born and bred North Carolinians. He went to Millbrook High School down there. And we talk, you know, all the time we talk. Some of these guys you've never heard of, but you had to hear about Keith Marshall. In 2012, now we talk about the event that we do and how our guys come to our events and how all these guys match up. And we've even been accused of saying that, you know, this is unreasonable, the GPAs are too high, that we're asking a guy just to have a minimum of a 3.3, just a minimum. And then you call us up and you send hate mail and say, well, wait a minute. What about the guys that got a 2.3 or 2.4? And you said it best, Mr. Pierce. Do they want us to lower our expectations or they want these guys to raise their expectations? I mean, it's simple as that. So, okay, the year 2012. I don't want to forget. I mean, I remember this year like it was yesterday, but I don't want to forget anyone. And I'm not jumping on any of our athletes because the standard seems like it was lower than someone else. But these are every one of these guys are five-star athletes. Every one of them in 2012. And just listen to the school that they went to, ladies and gentlemen. Just listen to the school. So we had Zach Banner. He had a 3.5. He went to USC. This is 2012. These are all African-American athletes. In 2012, Zach Banner had a 3.5 GPA. He went to USC. We had, I just want to make, Deion Williams. He had a 3.7. He went to Duke. Okay. We had Jonathan Curry. He had a 4.0. He went to Purdue. Okay, we had Alexander Carter. He had a 4.1, and he went to Stanford. We had Deion Williams, and Deion went to.
You already said that.
I've already said that. Okay, I just want to make sure. And then we had a young man by the name, because all of them are put in a pile. They have to do some things. They got to write an essay. We got to look at their community service. We got a lot of stuff to look at. And I'm glad you corrected me because I'm excited about this. So one of the individuals on this list was none other than Jameis Winston. Everybody vilifies Jameis. They call him all kind of names. But Jameis, that year, 2012, coming out of high school, I want everybody to hear it out of my mouth because I hear it all the time. Well, you know, he wasn't. No. Jameis Winston had a 4.0 coming out of high school, going to Florida State. But the person who was selected, as we call it, the standard bearer, to represent that group of individuals I just named. He had a 4.3. And this individual is with us right now. He was the number one running back in the country. He was a five-star athlete. He was in his classroom. And Keith Marshall had a 4.3 GPA, and he went down to the university, or came down here to the University of Georgia. This is a Georgia Bulldog that's with us. Keith Marshall, how are you doing today?
I am doing great. I appreciate the lengthy introduction, all the accolades. I appreciate you guys having me on. It's been a while since I've been able to connect with both of you guys. So all is well on my end. I'm looking forward to this conversation.
Well, you also want people to know, not only were you an All-American in football, you was All-American in track and field. And you broke a couple of records down there in North Carolina. I want people to know, in high school, you ran 100 meters in 10.44. Now, for track, for the track enthusiasts and people that know, he ran a 200 meters in 21.3. So let's get all this stuff out here right now. Now, here you doing all this. You in the classroom. You pull off a 4.3. You're a five-star athlete. So I ask everybody this question. Were you in elementary school when you decided you wanted to be a five-star bona fide scholar athlete? Were you in elementary school? What happened? Did you hit your head on a rock or something?
I'll say so. Early on, I knew I wanted to be, you know, a ball player. My father played professionally, so that was always a dream of mine. I didn't necessarily know what a five-star athlete, didn't understand, you know, the whole recruiting scene. But very early on, you know, I decided I wanted to play ball. As far as the academic aspect of it, I had to give props to my parents. You know, I just did what I was told, and they did not allow for me to not perform well. You know, that was looked at as being more important than athletic. So, you know, I did what I was supposed to do in many ways, and I'm proud of that. But like I said, I really had to give thanks to my parents for kind of pushing me and making sure I achieved at a high level academically.
Well, you know, that's important, because I want people to know that this radio show is about passing on the type of information who the next Keith Marshall is going to be. Because a lot of parents get confused. They say, I don't know what to do. Okay, we right here, right now. You heard out of Keith Marshall's mouth that his parents didn't let him get away with nothing. That school was a priority. Now, we're talking about school. Now, what happens when you leave the eighth grade and come to the ninth grade? Because this stuff had to be ingrained in you. You didn't know nothing about five stars. Uh-oh, we got a commercial coming up. So we'll talk about that on the opposite side. I'm here with not only J. Evans, Kissar, but I'm here with none other than the infamous Keith Marshall from the University of Georgia. This is TK with the Watkins Award. We'll be right back. You want it, I got it. So tell me what you need. I'm unchanged, unfazed, and unwilling. It's a new day, new world. We all winning. I'm up late, up early. I gotta get it. Keep working. Now we gotta make a million. Go get it, you got it. I see you. Go get it, you got it. I see you. All you gotta do is put your mind to it.
Exotic Car Sharing by Kirby Road is a full-service car sharing company that has been in business for over 21 years. Based out of Palatine, Illinois, our company allows its members the ability to own fractional ownership of exotic cars at a fraction of the costs. Our share plans include reservations for weekend or weekly ride sharing. Our members get to choose from a Bentley one weekend to the McLaren 570S the next. No long paperwork, expensive maintenance, or expensive insurance requirements. Exotic Car Sharing has the fleet and capabilities to service all of our clients with quality luxury vehicles delivered at your doorstep. Register on our website at exoticcarsharing.com or call us at 888-264-3327.
Yeah, you're here. What's the Watkins Award? And of course, I got my sidekick, J. Everett Pearsall. This is T-Tate. And look here, ladies and gentlemen, if it seems like I'm a little testy today, I am. I'm hot because I talk to people all the time and they always want to talk about the bad news about these young African-American males. They want to know how to get their kids to these top schools, get a scholarship so they can get a free education. Well, guess what? I got Keith Martha with me today, a bona fide five-star athlete. And I want to know, you know, before we went to our break, so here's the question again. When did it hit you that football, not only, of course, the academics, but now you got to put the work in it. That football was going to be a sport that you was going to rise to the occasion and be one of the top athletes in the country.
Yeah, so like I said, I started playing at a fairly young age, second grade, and just because I had the athletic ability, I was always, you know, I was, not to sound cocky, but I was always better than most people I was around, so I was always kind of a star. Once I was in middle school, I tore my ACL in my left knee, so I kind of started to, you know, deal with injuries, and that was a very traumatic thing to do that at that young of an age. And so I had to battle through that. And so when I started high school, ninth grade, I actually didn't play my ninth grade year because I was doing a lot of rehab. I had a big old Don Joy brace on. So kind of to the what we were talking about earlier, academics was my main focus early on. After my ninth grade year. So I was tied at my school, which was a huge public high school in North Carolina, the biggest one. I was tied for the valedictorian. It was eight of us. I remember the principal came. She pulled me aside. She said, you know, I had an opportunity to be the first African-American valedictorian at my high school. So that's kind of what I set my eyes on. And obviously this whole time, football was still very important to me, but it hadn't taken off yet. And then, you know, I started training really, really hard between my ninth and 10th grade season. In my first game, my sophomore year, had like five touchdowns, set the school record for yards. The next day I had two or three offers and it really just, you know, it took off at that point and it became surreal to the point where football did kind of become the sole focus. And obviously, like I said, my parents still made sure that I was taking care of business academically, but it became clear that I was going to, you know, pay for my own school. And so they relaxed a little bit on some of the, you know, household guidelines.
Okay. That's fair. Well, so now you come into your senior year. You know, this stuff is happening early. And one of the things that we pride ourselves with the Watkins Award in particular, but the National Alliance of African American Athletes, is to set up a holistic approach of trying to help the Keith Marshalls of the world with the transition from high school to college. So before we even get to college, what was that recruiting process all about with you?
So the recruiting process for me was really about maintaining balance and trying to maintain some level of humility. You know, being a five-star, you get a lot of attention, a lot of people telling you how great you are nonstop. And so I think having the parents that I have, very fortunate, obviously, they were able to kind of maintain that balance. And what we were looking for in a school was really somewhere where I could pursue my athletic dreams, but also make sure that I was able to get a good education that I could fall back on. In the event that, you know, football didn't turn out as planned. And in a way, I guess, you know, kind of the poster child for that, but I guess we can get into that a little later.
Well, you know, you talk about, you know, the challenges and, of course, you know, your focus on academics. And clearly you were focused on, you know, athletics as well. I talk about athletics and academics all the time, the A-square approach. But you leave high school, but what is the feel when you come out of Raleigh and you come down to that stadium up there in Athens, Georgia. What's your feeling?
Oh, it was like a dream, man. The whole process was really like a dream come true. I ended up graduating a semester early because I had some injuries and ailments I wanted to take care of. And I was thinking, you know, if you go to college early, you get with the strength coach, you get with the support staff, you'll be able to get healthy. That also allowed me to get a jump start academically. So I was able to kind of make that transition into college life without, you know, the full, you know, demands of a season on me. So it really helped me a lot. It was definitely a culture shock, though. Just, you know, Athens, Georgia, as you know, football is everything. Everywhere you go, people know who you are. You know, I'm somewhat of a reserved individual. So being thrown into that light was, you know, I was 17 years old. It was very interesting, but it was a great experience nonetheless.
Absolutely. And I'm glad you made that point that you were only 17 when you got the UGA. 17 years old. So, you know, and I'm going to let Pearsall dive into this, but I do want to touch on it. You talk about the knee injury in high school. You talk about adversity. You get another injury in college, but you patiently come back. You keep coming back. You get, you know, this injury. Then, you know, I kind of made a joke of it in the social network, whether or not this 4-2 or 4-3 was really the 40 time or your GPA. So, I mean, what was it that you did in the combine, man? You come back from a knee injury. I mean, where does this set you at all-time speeds in the NFL, ladies and gentlemen? The NFL combine. What is
this? So I don't know is the real answer, but I do know they have this thing where they do kind of a combination between size and speed. I know I have the number one, I forget what they call it, but whatever metric it is, I know I'm number one of all time in NFL history at that, because I was 220, I ran a 4.29. Like you said, I was after three knee surgeries. So, you know, as far as athletic ability, I was, you know, very gifted in that regard.
I mean, the mindset of an individual who comes to a combine after enduring all of these injuries and set that kind of speed. Man, look here. I got to pass you on over to J. Everett Pearsall. I've had chances to see you perform in games live. Of course, it was a pleasure being up there with Pearsall. And, man, I have nothing but love for you, but Mr. Pearsall, he's all yours, man. I'm still mesmerized over Keith Marshall.
Keith Marshall, aka K Marsh, aka Marshall Law, aka Keith Lightning, aka the fastest man at the combine year, aka the fastest running back to run between the hedges at Georgia. Yes, I said at Georgia. Welcome to the show, my brother. Thanks for coming on.
Hey, man, I appreciate it. It's good to talk to you. It's been a while.
Always, man, always a pleasure to talk to you. Now, think about, you know, when we first had an opportunity to meet and an opportunity to meet your dad and an opportunity to meet your mom and those around you, one of the things that always sticks out of my mind is that you are always the most introspective person I've ever met, meaning that, you know, you weren't about talking. You were about action. You weren't about what they said about you. You were about results. And so to get you to actually talk about yourself, to get you to actually explain something was like pulling teeth. But I learned after time, it was because you weren't about that lip service. You were about action and you were about results. The first question I want to ask you, Keith, is that, you know, we haven't had a lot of people, and Tyrone and I talk about this all the time, and I get phone calls and I get emails of people wanting their cousins and their brothers and their kids to be a part of Watkins. And they say, well, you know, my nephew is the 15th receiver in the state of Georgia, and my cousin is the 11th quarterback in the state of Michigan. And I say to them, we deal with the number one in the position. We talk about the best of the best. And to talk about those individuals in such a way that not only are they number one in their position in this entire country, they've got a 4.3 grade point average. Tell me the mindset of what it takes, because we always talk about there's no excuse for mediocrity. You have to apply yourself the same way on both. How is it that you become the number one running back in the country and carry a 4.3 grade point average?
Well, I mean, like I said, I mean, obviously I have very good guidance, but I think more specifically, it's really about discipline, or it was, you know, in my household. Like you said, we weren't really a big talkers. It was more so, you know, you speak through the way that you act and people can, you know, see it. You don't have to broadcast yourself, your successes or failures. You know, people will see it by the way that you live your life. And so that's how I was raised. That's what I try to embody. I feel like I've done a good job of that. But like I said, man, discipline is really the number one thing. I had a very strict, rigid resume as far as, you know, what I wanted to do working out. I did that every single day. I logged my workouts, push-ups, sit-ups, stretching every single day for 4 years. You know, I was always the person doing the extra work. So I think that level of discipline and not being necessarily focused in results, but also focused on the process itself, kind of shielded me from getting too caught up in, you know, the limelight and those type of things. So, like I said, I mean, I know I said this a few times already. I don't want to harp on it, but I really am a product of my environment. So, you know, for whatever it's worth.
That's okay, because the people who listen to our show are both aspiring to be in your shoes as athletes, but they're also parents. They're also uncles and cousins and people in their community. They're coaches and people who work. And so it's good to hear that, because your community was in your household, but oftentimes the communities of individuals that are listening may be outside the household. And so you think about ways that you can actually influence people that you come in contact with. So it means a lot for you to actually say that. The second question I want to ask you is that when I looked at the draft this year, I noticed, you know, Patrick Surtain and his son and Horn. And I look at all these folks. And as we talked about, you know, you and your family, and you get it honest, are a few words. And I likely knew you and your family 5 years before I came to realize that your dad actually played in the NFL. I mean, he never told me that. He never, you know, sort of boasted that I played in the NFL and this is my son and so forth and so on. And so, you know, following up a dad who was in the NFL, and for those who are niche that might be listening or know someone that's listening that may have any of those kind of pressures on them, how do you grow up with a dad who played in the league? And I got an idea of some of the conversations I've had with your dad, and then trying to not just follow in their footsteps, but, you know, overachieve some of the things that they may want for you in life.
Yeah, so I think my dad, he came up in a vastly different environment than what I was raised in, and he busted his tail in order to provide that environment for me and my siblings. And so I think, you know, kind of the work ethic that it allowed him to have success, he, you know, pushed forward onto us. And so, you know, like I said, growing up, it really was in the household, and just kind of the mindset was, you know, we don't care what the other people are doing, for example. You know, I know everybody who knows you get a certain grade, you say, well, mom, dad, you know, everybody in the class failed that test. We don't care in my household. You know, it was kind of competition with yourself and holding yourself accountable to whatever standard you set forth. And so I think that level of detail and work ethic is really what he provided for us. As far as pushing us one way or the other, he really didn't. You know, I told him I wanted to play football, and so he provided the guidelines and opportunity for me to do so, him and my mother. It was never like, you know, you have a pressure to go out here and do this. It was more so whatever it is that you do decide that you want to do, you're going to do it to a level that you give your all to, and you make sure that you represent the family and represent the values that we upstand. And so, you know, for that, I am forever grateful. But like I said, it was never really too much pressure. He just wanted us to be successful in life and to enjoy ourselves and try to reach all our goals in life. And he provided that for us.
Excellent. Excellent. Give our listening audience some examples of some of the obstacles that you've had to overcome, you know, through the years, and let's not talk about the injuries because they're physical, but I know other things that they may face that you had to go through in terms of decisions that you had to make, whether I do this or whether I do that. Again, you know, we're talking to people and we want them, help them understand that really you have to apply yourself at all levels to all things that you want to accomplish in order to do your best at them and have the best result. But what are some of the obstacles that you had to overcome in your journey?
Yeah, so I guess less of an obstacle and more of a, like you said, a decision I had to make is obviously choosing which school to go to. I had a number of options. It really boiled down to going to where I felt like kind of hit as many boxes as possible. Obviously, there's no perfect place, but I knew the things that I was looking for, both academically and athletically. And so as we went throughout the process, we kind of kept a running, a list of the things that each school hit on. So, at the end of the day, it came down to two schools. I was able to legitimately create a pros and cons list and feel like what would give me the best academic support long-term after I graduated, after football was over. And so that's how we kind of landed on the University of Georgia, as opposed to some of the other schools that I was considering. As far as, once I got into college, some of the decisions that you have to make is obviously it's tough to balance school and academics. You have to really, what they tell you is you have three different areas. You have your school, you have athletics, and then you have social life. You can't give yourself to all three. You got to pick two and go hard at it. So I think from a social aspect, I was much more focused than some of my classmates in college. And, looking back, maybe I wish I would have had a little more fun, but then I probably wouldn't have achieved some of the things that I was able to achieve. So I was really focused on those two things. I decided to study business management initially. Well, I got off to a really good start in college. And then when those injuries started to creep in, I wanted to make sure I was hedging myself to be able to take advantage of whatever I could long term. So I just decided to switch to finance, which was obviously much more challenging, much more demanding from a time perspective. And that was difficult. But I really feel, like I said, I'm the poster child for, having a plan B and seeing that through, because now that's provided me with opportunities to, I'm on full scholarship right now at a top 20 MBA program. I have a great job lined up with a great company. All of those things kind of follow from me being very, very strategic in the way that I attacked my college education.
Excellent. Now, obviously, as you've gone through where you're in high school, where in high school you were the number one running back, and obviously all the accolades off the field, including the Watkins Award. If you look at that journey from high school through college, with your NFL career included, now where you are, give me an idea of why you decided that the Watkins Award was important to you. And moreover, add on to it, what during that journey through the Watkins Award was able to assist you in going from where you were in high school to where you are now?
Absolutely. So I think, what the Watkins stands for is obviously academic excellence as well as athletic excellence. And as everybody knows, your football career, definitely football, any sport, but football in particular, is not going to last forever. And so the values that you guys provided with us and that you, uphold and that what the Watkins Award stands for has really rung true in my life. As I said, football, I was projected to be all kind of first round this, first round that, and that didn't happen because of things that were outside of my control. But falling back on that academic foundation that I established allowed me to still, like I say, be in a good place now. I think that's what the Watkins is all about. As far as, the whole process, obviously you've been there. I've talked to you, over the years sparingly, and you've been there to support me. And even as I try to transition into the business world and get an MBA, you wrote one of my letters. So that was a big help in helping me get a scholarship, just being a part of that Watkins family and people understand what it means. And it's obviously a privilege, but it's also, an honor. So, I think it holds weight. And like I say, my life is a testament to that.
Excellent. Now, obviously you touched on a little bit of it a few minutes ago, but again, I want to actually go into it a little bit deeper. Give all of our listening audience an idea of not just today, but what are you into? What are you doing now? Obviously you talked about school, but talk about some of the community service that you've been involved with. We know that, and I know personally that once you got out of football, some of the businesses that you were involved with, you have such a wide plethora of things that you have started, that you've been involved with, and those things will continue to be tentacles to the influence that you'll make and the success that you have moving forward. What are you doing now? What have you done over the last couple of years that is so exciting?
So I'll give you kind of the story. And when I got done with football, one of the things that was clear to me was that I felt very, very fortunate, and I wanted to find a way to give back and pay it forward to the next generation, not just of athletes, but of people in general, making sure that they have some of the opportunities that I was able to take advantage of. And so I kind of had a startup idea that was around nonprofits and college athletics as a way to kind of raise money and support local communities. The thought behind that was like Athens, Georgia, where, I went to school. It's one of the poorest counties in the state of Georgia, yet the university makes $180 million, something crazy, a year through the football program. So, you know, that type of disparity doesn't make sense to me. And so I wanted to try to attack that. So I spent 6 months at an incubator in Atlanta trying to come up with a business plan, meeting with different people in different sectors, understanding how I could try to, you know, aid in that and in that disparity. And it led me to realizing that in order to really have an impact, I need to go back to school and shore up on some of these skills that will allow me to speak the language and really understand the ins and outs of business. So that's kind of where I found myself now. One of the things that I'm focusing on is ESG, or some people call it stakeholder capitalism, which takes into consideration environmental, social, and governance concerns while they're making, you know, in capital markets. And so the idea for me, at least, why I'm so excited about it and have found kind of a rejuvenated sense of passion in that, is it's an opportunity through, you know, the pillars of capitalism, what drives society forward, to kind of overcorrect and fix some of these generational disparities, whether it be, you know, income inequality, economic mobility, things like this that really affect African-Americans and other minorities, women, people of, you know, really just all around the world. Some of these issues that we're facing, I feel like it has an opportunity to be fixed through ESG, which I view as like next generation of capitalism. So that's what I'm about right now. It has been an awesome journey. People are eating it up right now. Like I said, I have an opportunity to go to a company called McKinsey & Company, which is a big time strategic consulting firm. They have their tentacles into pretty much everything, Fortune 500 companies around the world. And so that ESG focus is something I'm hoping to help them push through.
You are brilliant. We are so proud of you, man, and more excited about all the things that you have coming down the pike, man. And, you know, all the things that you've done, but more importantly, all the things you will do will continue to change lives like you talked about. And you'll lead by example, because people will be able to understand that it's important for you to apply yourself on both ends of the spectrum in order to achieve. And, you know, again, the audience already heard you talk about it, but through injury, you're able to roll right into the next phase of your life and roll into it in a way that is robust with meaning and fervor. And so, man, it's good talking to you. I'm grateful to have you a part of the show, and I'll throw you back to Coach Tate.
I'm lost for words. I mean, I'm really lost for words. He has set the bar. I mean, his words, certainly what it is that he is currently involved in, has established and validated what I said earlier about these young African-American males. I mean, we can look at TV and listening to the radio all the time, and they talk about all the bad stuff of these young men. Now, here we got someone we can celebrate. If he didn't say it today, I was going to talk about the fact that he majored in finance while he was playing football. He understood the importance of a good education, making the sacrifices. He said that he wished he could go back and do the social thing again, but he was glad that he focused on his academics and athletics. There's going to be a sacrifice. There is going to be a sacrifice. And then he told you he's back in school getting his MBA. So he didn't let, and he's in one of the top grad business schools in the country. We're not just talking about a regular business program. He's in one of the top in the country. So if somebody wanted to stay in contact and find out what in the world is going on in Keith Marshall's life, because you're in a lot of things, what is your social network place? Where can we go and find you on social network?
So I'm on all the social medias. My at is Truth4 with two H's. One of the things that I kind of internally, as I was transitioning out of ball, I kind of had to take a step back from social media just so I could kind of resettle myself and get back focused. So I'm not as active as I once was, kind of, you know, in that stage of rebranding myself. But plan to at some point get back more heavy. So definitely follow me on Truth4 if you want to keep up with me, and look forward to that.
Well, ladies and gentlemen, you've heard it yourself. J. Everett Pearsall and Coach T. Tate has been here with none other than Keith Marshall.
Man, Lightning Marshall, he's a bad
Keith, I want to personally thank you I mean, I know I'm gonna get some hate mail talking about this Keith Marshall guy. He isn't for real. This is a movie. This is made up, you know, for TV. Well, I tell you, if this is made up for TV, this is a great program right here. Thank you, ladies and gentlemen, for being here with us today again. Keith Marshall has been here with us. Nothing but love for him. Hey,
I appreciate you guys, and obviously what you stand for, and you guys.
Well, take a look at the website, www.naaa.com. We're out of here. This is TK, J. Everett Pearsall, and our special guest, Keith Marshall from the University of Georgia. And of course, he came from the great state of North Carolina.
See you next Monday.
All you gotta do is put your mind to it.